I'm here with Christelle Bartelsy, who's back at the Fringe since you were last here in 2015 with a show called All Kidding Aside, which is a piece of solo theatre happening at the Space. So just give us a bit of history from 2015 till now.
So I came here in 2015 with a show called Honeymoon, which was about a woman who marries herself. I did the PBH Free Fringe, and I sort of came to learn about the festival as well and to experience it while also doing my show. So from everything I learned, kind of took that back home with me in Canada, and last year I created a new show and just took it to a couple of Canadian festivals, and I've been doing other work and slowly building it up and really wanted to come back here. So it took a year off, but back again.
You could dine off this quite successfully in Canada and the US. What specifically about Edinburgh, other than that there's a potential dangerous vanity about coming here?
Yes.
What specifically, positively, has brought you back?
You know what? I have to say that the first time I came, immediately when I got here, I knew instantly I would be back. There's just something about the energy of this place, being inspired by so many different artists, all the different shows, that I knew I would come back. A lot of my Canadian friends who are artists on the Canadian circuit do laugh or think I'm a bit crazy because, yes, the amount of money you can make on the Canadian circuit versus here, which is highly unlikely, you know, it's not very possible. But I think there's just more opportunity here. It's just an amazing experience. It's life-changing. You learn so much about yourself as an artist and from doing your show, and you get to meet so many different great people. And also the Canadian circuit, like Edinburgh, it will always be there. I can always go back, but I think I almost would say that every Canadian artist needs to come here to see the challenge. Yeah.
Is there some sort of kudos for Canadians to say they've done Edinburgh? Back at home.
Right. We like to think that. I think I have a lot of support back home, and I think people are very inspired that I'm doing it. I can't say... I'm trying to think of an example. I don't know if I got any work from it when I got back. I think people were like, oh, you've done Edinburgh, and they admire that experience. I don't think someone has hired me because I've done it, but it's definitely something. I think it's a notch up on the resume, if I can say. Because there's not as many Canadians sort of from that circuit in my community that have done it before. I think a lot of people are terrified to do it, so I like to have that challenge.
And as we dive into what is All Kidding Aside about, I'm looking at a little subtitle here, which I won't say straight away, because two thoughts came into my head. They're quotes. One was it pick battles big enough to matter and small enough to win?
Okay.
And the other one was don't sweat over the small stuff, because
yes,
it's all small stuff. And on your flyer here is sometimes the biggest fears can be the little ones. So let's dive into what the show's about.
Well, the show's a comedic, honest exploration of all of my reasons and fears of having children and why I don't have kids yet. So ultimately examines all of our fears and asks the ultimate question, how does anyone make a decision? So I think we're all at times afraid to take a chance or to see if we jump in to one side of something, what the outcome will be. So that's sort of what it's exploring. It's a comedic, physical storytelling piece. It's set in a doctor's office. I'm awaiting a pregnancy test to see the results, and then my life can go either way. And there's a few twists and turns in the show as well.
It sounds philosophically and practically, you know, the idea that one fear on its own is probably manageable, but when you let them all pile up, they can create paralysis.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and in doing this festival is a good metaphor, because there's a lot of fear behind doing this festival. And what you were just saying, don't sweat the small stuff. I think it's easy here to get wrapped up in, today's a bad day because this happened. But ultimately, like, there's a month to go, and you can't be so hard on yourself as well. I try and keep that in perspective also.
So I'm always interested in when ideas get kind of, you know, created. So excuse the use of the word, but the birth of the idea.
Yes,
Take us to that moment.
So I was married in 2014, and literally after I got married, everyone started asking us when we were having children, and that's a path that I don't even know if I want to take, or I've had a lot of medical issues, which I talk about in the show, where I've been convinced by doctors that I can't have children. So when people kept asking me, it was driving me crazy that people... It wasn't their business that they should ask me that question. So through that, I started interviewing all kinds of women, moms and non-moms, on their perspective and their reasons for their choices. But ultimately, the story is mine. I just wrote about all of my fears. And although I created the show in 2016, and it's a year later, even though I've come to not necessarily a conclusion yet, but I think I sort of know the path I'm taking. The show still balances it on the fence. It's really still either sides of the argument. And ultimately that we should stop asking women why they have kids or why they don't have kids. At the end of the day, it's nobody's business as well.
But as a theatre maker, I mean, that is a very tender, sensitive subject that a lot of people would want to keep private. Mm-hmm. Why did you decide, and how did you decide, to put that before the public gaze?
I'm very passionate about this topic. I'm very passionate that we need to, because I was tired of people asking me that question. I have a lot of issues around it. And I usually do comedy, and I wanted to challenge myself in doing a show where I was very vulnerable, and it was not me playing a character. It's really my story. And I also created a podcast as well where I now interview all different women, mostly artists, again, women who have chosen to have kids or not, and try and get them to open up on their thoughts as well.
But that's, you can be passionate about a general thing, but to broadcast it personally, what does that give back to you? I mean, has that helped you in making decisions?
That's a great question. And no, someone asked me that yesterday. I'm not trying to put therapy on stage or trying to come to the answer by doing the show. It was just something I wanted to put out there. I think if anything, it helps people. The feedback I've gotten of people said, yeah, I've had to make a really challenging decision. I know how life-changing that can be. Or a lot of women who have had kids said, I was in that boat. I decided to have a child, and now my life is great. But I just wanted to put it out there. I just like doing the show and performing it. But I didn't create it with the outcome to get an answer, I guess. Although there is a twist in the show.
And in terms of that word create, did you then sit down and write a script?
Yeah, I did a lot of, as I said, interviewing women and I did a lot of research on moms and on child-free life. And then I just started writing the story from my perspective. And then I had a really rough script, and then I kind of like to go into a studio and improvise and explore and perform. And that's sort of, and then it kept developing. The script kept developing and changing. And then even last year, it was about 65 minutes, and for here, I had to get it down to 50. So, again, another pun, but I did have to kill the babies, as they say. Yeah.
And then how did it get directed?
I had a fabulous director from Toronto, Canada, Michelle Pollack. So I found her. Someone recommended her to me. And one of my, I guess, rules, I don't know, something I was looking for, was that the director of my show was A, female, and B, had children. And when I met her, I didn't know if she had kids or not, but within 2 minutes, someone walked into the coffee shop and asked her how her children were doing. So that was a bonus because I wanted someone with that perspective as well. So she came on board and started working. And she's very precise in her direction. She's pretty hard on me.
And so in terms of, you know, you're going to hand this script to a director who's going to direct you, did you load that script with loads of stage directions and your intentions for it, or did you leave that to the director?
No, not at all. I mean, in early stages, I would write a little bit and send it to her, and she'd say, yeah, you're in the right direction. She almost gave me homework, I guess. But I put no stage directions or anything in it. And in fact, when we went into rehearsal, I don't think we knew it was going to be set at a doctor's office. That all came through the development and in rehearsal. I don't actually write my scripts with any idea of how they're going to go. It's sort of a work in progress the whole time.
This is a potentially uncomfortable question. It's just that I've heard it in different ways. When we do have personal life decisions to make, and we're theatre makers, is there a danger, you know, if we don't do it for therapy, that, you know, we just buy time by putting the theatre on and just delay the decision?
That is a great point. And I'm sure a lot of people would say maybe that's what I'm doing. But, because clearly I haven't come to a conclusion. But in my show, I will say that I've put sort of a deadline that by the time I get home from Edinburgh Festival, I will have to have made a decision whether I'm going to try for a baby or not. So there's some pressure for this next month. But I think I am, I guess, clearly I'm delaying the decision a little bit, I guess. And this show, because there's not necessarily a conclusion, unless you'll find out, am I getting further with my decision? No. And time is running out. I'm not getting any younger either. So,
as a researcher, when you do a lot of research into an area like this, where there probably is a lot of research too and a lot of different perspectives, and you interview people, but you've only got 50 minutes at the Edinburgh Fringe, how do you ensure that the weight of that information and research, which could be very interesting and powerful, doesn't weigh down the script?
I know. You really have to choose what you want to put in there, because it's a huge topic matter to fit into 50 minutes. So I guess I try to cover all bases, but I'm already highly aware I just can't get to everything. So it's really about just shaping it. And again, because the story is so personal to me, it's really what I felt I needed to say. And then when I went back and had to cut out things from the script, it was just the things that weren't advancing the story or weren't there. But I you know, there's some things missing from the show that I wish I could put back in, but also they're not important. I just had fun doing them. So you have to just really look, I guess, the best way to make the story the strongest, if that makes sense.
And if this script were handed to another brilliant actor, you know, they would learn the lines, they'd be directed, they'd do a great job, but they would definitely probably go home at night and to their family. As someone that's immersed in this and connected to it, and it's your story, now, how do you and how do you detach from it as a professional performer as well? Or are you walking around with this 24/7?
Oh, not at all, no. And I don't know if you're asking if someone else were to do the show. Or
I mean, it's an interesting artistic question. That one is, here you are with your story, and the danger is it's probably not good to be with it 24/7 and to have strategies for it, as a professional actor probably would do.
Yeah. No, I don't feel I walk around it. I mean, again, because it's such a huge decision to answer what I'm proposing in the show, I think maybe the weight of that sometimes comes into my mind of like, oh, what am I going to do when I get home? Or should I have a kid or shouldn't I? And then I'm even meeting, you know, people here that are parents or non-parents, so it's on the back of my mind. I think if I were to give this script to someone else, I think it's such a personal story that I think somebody else could do it, but it came from me, so I think they would have their own stories and ways that they would have to shape the script, I think. Yeah,
but also, you know, do you have rituals for taking the costume off?
I have a huge head in the show, a big head mask. I don't have as much time to exit the venue. It's a very quick turnover, so I do find I run out of the room with my costume on, but then I take it off, and I'm pretty good at, you know.
Spiritually, too, the spiritual costume.
Yes, all of that. I can leave it. I'm pretty good. I think now that my show is finished in the afternoon, I'm pretty good about leaving it and just saying, that was it, that's what it was, it's done, and then I can still go off and enjoy my evening.
And are you getting either invited or unasked for feedback where people are telling you what decision to make? You know, your audience are being affected by this.
Yeah, I sort of put it out there that I asked the audience because I'm curious what they think, but then I realize that that's the most ridiculous thing and the audience can't make the decision for me. But I do get people talking to me after. I mean, parents always say, oh, I think you should do it, you'll never regret it. But if I meet someone that doesn't have kids, also they say, oh, I didn't have children and my life is great. So, but of course, everyone wants to give their opinion and their two cents. But again, ultimately, I'm trying to stop people from really asking that question or commenting on it. It's nobody's business. So whether you have to ultimately make the decision yourself. Yeah.
And one last question is, you know, if you decide yes, and, you know, whatever limitations are overcome, mm-hmm. medically or whatever, and you do have a child, and that child grows up to teenagehood, do you think you're going to tell them this story and show them this script? Is it going to be part of their growing up?
Absolutely, because I think it would be okay. Hopefully by then they wouldn't be the worst teenager in the world, which again is one of my fears. They grow up and end up a total jerk. But no, I think I would share that with them eventually when they're old enough that I was very conflicted on this issue, because I would probably teach them that if they decide in the future that that path isn't for them, I would like to support them because, you know, my mom's come around too and she supported me in whatever decision that I decide to do. So yeah, I would tell them. Maybe not when they're too young, but when they're older, I would tell them.
Christelle, thanks very much for talking to us.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.